Friday evening. I'm Casey Dyer, and this is the place you can hear short tales for wise kids, wayward grown-ups, and for everyone who knows that you are never too old to listen to a bedtime story.
A good night for a little bit of high fantasy, I think, after a terrible news day. So, this is our 50th episode of Bedtime Stories, and tonight is Chapter 4 of Nethermoor, which is called Campfire. I hope you enjoy it. I'd been through enough crashes in the past hour, so when the vehicle slowed to a halt after Sam did his little vanishing act, I have to admit that a wave of relief washed over me. The engine noise had died away as the car, or whatever it was, had slowed, and I sat there listening to it tick as it cooled, and stared at the blue flecks of light that still danced idly over the seat beside me. "You were sitting there talking to me," I said aloud. "Threateningly, but still talking. And now, you're not." The sparkles didn't answer, but when I leaned back in my seat, the roof slid backwards silently, and the night air wrapped icy tendrils around me, sliding under and through my clothes as if they weren't even there. The little blue sparkles flew up into the wind, and the stars above me shone blue, too. Blue and icy cold. And suddenly, I knew where I was. I unclipped the belt and reached my hands up to pull myself out of the vehicle. It was as if the door opening above me had opened something in my brain. Except I knew it wasn't the door. It was the light. The blue starlight. I flipped my legs over the top of the vehicle and slid down the windscreen until I could feel the ground beneath my feet. Took a step or two into the darkness and then 10 or 20 rather more hurried ones as the machine burst into flame behind me. When I felt I'd achieved a safe distance, beyond the range of zinging metal shards, I turned and watched it burn. "You did this on purpose, asswipe," I muttered, and was not at all surprised by the low chuckle that came from the darkness at my back. The fire flared up, flames urgent and roaring, but as quickly died down, embers flying up with gentle pops to light on the frozen ground. I'd thrown a few sticks on the disturbingly liquefied remains of the exploding vehicle, but my attempt at fire feeding was clearly not going to be enough to ensure a night filled with warmth. "It's green wood and needled at that," Sam said glumly. "You can't even gather wood right." He rolled onto his side and then pushed himself upright, an unnecessarily complicated maneuver designed to show me how naturally athletic he was. Good at everything. Or so I was beginning to recall. I leaned back and concentrated on keeping the chattering of my teeth inaudible. The darkness closed in around me as he walked away. The smooth, cold, killing darkness. Killing darkness? Where had that come from? I shook my head and tried to take stock of the positives. I could see out of both eyes, and the other wounds to my hand and head had healed to the point where they weren't a worry. The fire meant I was unlikely to actually die of the cold. And the very strange man, Sam, who'd vanished from the car in a shimmer of blue sparks, had actually shown up again. Yeah, he had an intensely annoying personality, and he seemed in a perpetual snit, mostly directed at me, but at least he was keeping me company. The way a good brother should. There was a noise like rolling thunder, and I jerked my legs back as a cascade of branches, some easily the diameter of your average elephant foot, tumbled down beside me. "You carried all those at once?" I gaped at the pile of combustibles, and he nodded complacently. "Could have brought twice that lot, but you need to do your share, too." He tilted his head at the darkness like he expected me to trot off like an obedient servant. I turned my back on him and focused on building the fire. A moment or so later, I heard him sigh. "You can get away with that at home, El, but it won't fly here." His voice had a different tone to it, and it took me a minute to realize it was sincerity. The sarcasm and impatience had dropped away. "We don't need more wood," I said finally. "There's more than enough here to last until morning." "I don't give a damn about the wood," he said, squatting beside the fire and right in my line of vision. When I dropped my head, he lifted my chin so that I was forced to look at him. "If you hate me this much, why did you come back?" His eyes were still angry, but the pain in his voice sounded real enough. I jerked my head away. "Look, you can bully me all you want. It's nothing new." A light flicked on behind his eyes. "You remember?" "A bit," I said, cutting him off. "No thanks to you and your games. We're going home. But you're going to have to help me, Sam. You need me and you know it, so it's in your own best interest to quit showing off and maybe give me a hand here." "I got the wood," he said, sulkily. I stared at him for a long minute. Okay, he said at last, "but I don't know what you've got and what's missing." I didn't really know what I had either, but I wasn't about to admit it to him. "Forget what I know and what I don't," I snapped at him. "Let's just start with what you think I need right now." His lips narrowed, pinching back a snide reply, but then he rubbed one hand wearily over his eyes. "Zads, I'm tired," he muttered. He raised his eyes to me again and they shone out, impossibly blue in the firelight. "Look into the flames, Eleonora." I squinted my eyes down to slits and obediently peered into the depths of the fire. There was no trace of the original vehicle left. The branches that I'd thrown on crackled merrily as in any outdoor campfire. And yet the heart of the fire drew me, and my breath hissed between my teeth when I realized what I was looking at. "There it is," Sam whispered. "You can see it, right?" "Right. Deep in the heart of the flames, the towers and ramparts of a great city began to form before my eyes, rising out of the conflagration and yet deeply a part of it. I tore my eyes away and found myself clutching desperately at Sam's hand. He was trembling. "Athira is calling us," he whispered. "What are you going to do about it?" Okay, there we go. Chapter 4, Campfire of Nethermoor. And our strange strangers in a strange land. The strange land is starting to find its shape. It's got a name. So now we have to find out what's happening with Sam and Eleonora. I'm kind of excited to see where this goes. I'm having lots of fun with it so far. And that's your story for tonight. I hope you enjoyed this little element of it. And we're deep into the darkest part of the year. Actually, we're about, a week? Yeah, exactly a week before we reach the last darkest night of this year. And then the sun will come back to us. So maybe we better have a special story for next Friday night. It'll be the last long dark night of the year, or the longest anyway. Dark night of the year. This day's been a pretty long, dark day. But I hope this was a nice end to it for you. And if you'd like to hear some more stories, you can find them on my website, caseydyer.com, or at Podomatic. And our popularity continues to increase on Podomatic. And we hit a new high last week, I think. So in the spoken word category anyway. So I do hope if you like listening to stories, you'll tell your friends and they can listen to it too. And so for tonight, I will say adieu and we'll see you next week. Good night.